Great to be with you all this morning. Please take your Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Today is Sunday, May the 1st, 2022. May 1st already. Wow. I recently heard a man who at one time was a pastor for 13 years say something that was shocking. Absolutely shocking. And I'll tell you about that in a few minutes, but this morning we are going to take a look into God's Word and consider faithfulness. The Bible, which is God's Word, reveals who God is. Now, people may have a lot of opinions about God does this, God does that, God won't do this, God he won't do that, but we find out about who God is from the Scriptures, the Bible, His Word. His word reveals who he is. We can read in the scriptures where it says, God is love. That's his very nature. God is love. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. God is full of grace and mercy. And so we read a lot of things in God's word that help us to understand who God is. That'd be kind of important if we were going to pray to him, trust him, believe him, right? A little hard to trust and believe a total stranger, right? How many people in here would absolutely trust my neighbor John? You don't know him. And that's why we have God's word, so we can get to know who God is. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, it says, God is faithful. So God is love, God is light. He's also faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This word faithful, that's actually an adjective, and it's related to the noun that is translated faith and believing. And so here it refers to someone who is faithful, trustworthy, reliable. And there are a number of places in the scriptures where it says that God is faithful. This is not the only place, but this is our starting point here this morning. But God is faithful. God is trustworthy. God is reliable. We can believe him. And that would include his word, the scriptures. His word is trustworthy. His word is reliable. We can believe and trust his faithful word. Look at chapter 4 of this epistle of 1 Corinthians. Paul was writing to the born-again believers in Corinth, and he had spent some time with them. And in verse 17 of chapter 4, it says, "For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus," that's Timothy, "who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." So Paul is sending Timothy, who Paul said he's faithful. Timothy was one that was trustworthy. He was reliable, and Paul was sending him there. It's interesting that he was sending Timothy there to remind them of what he had already taught them. Give them a little refresher course, if you will. There's other people named by name in the Bible that the Word of God says they were faithful. Obviously, Abraham, who's the father of all them that believe, faithful Abraham. But there are some other people, like in the New Testament, Tychicus, Onesimus, Epaphras, who were specifically named as being faithful. But look at the book of Hebrews, chapter 3. We would certainly expect to find, well, we don't even need scripture to tell us that Jesus Christ was faithful, because God's word tells us he always did the Father's will. I think that'd qualify for being faithful, wouldn't you? But here in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was what?"
Faithful.
He was faithful. He was faithful to him that appointed him, meaning he was faithful to God. "As also Moses was faithful in all his," or in all God's house. Down in verse 5 it says, And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were spoken after. So Jesus Christ was indeed faithful. He believed God consistently. He was trustworthy. And so was Moses. So God is faithful. His word is faithful. There are examples of people in the scriptures who were faithful. So what about you and me? We could be faithful too, right? If we want to. Back up just a bit to the book of Titus. In the book of Titus, chapter 1, verse 9, it says, Titus 1, 9, holding fast the faithful word, as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. Hold on to that faithful word. Holding fast means to hold on to. And it's not automatic. It's not like you receive some of God's word or learn some of the Bible or find out about God and now it's locked in. It never goes away. You have to hold on to it. You have to keep it. And if we don't hold on to this faithful word of God, if we're not faithful to keep his word in our hearts and minds, it'll slip away. It will erode. If it was automatic, God wouldn't say, hold fast to the faithful word. He'd just say, isn't it great you have the faithful word? Now you're set. Enjoy life. Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, it says. In back up just a bit to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, it says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. What Paul taught was sound words. Paul taught the gospel of God concerning Jesus Christ. Paul taught the gospel, the good news, the word of God that God imparted to him to teach to others. And so here he's telling Timothy, hold fast the form of sound words that you heard from me. Hold it fast. Don't let it go. Keep it. If we don't keep sound words in our hearts and minds, they will erode and be replaced with something else. Look at Gospel of Luke chapter 8. We looked at this, I don't know, several weeks ago. I can't remember when, but I know we went through the parable of the sower, which is a pretty popular parable that Jesus Christ spoke. But I want to show you something in this parable. Luke chapter 8, the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 8, verse 5. This is the parable that he spoke. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it, and some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it, and other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. So here's Jesus Christ, the greatest teacher ever. And he spoke in parables. So he said, well, let me tell you. A sower went out and did this. If you got ears to hear, let him hear. Well, what did he mean? And the reason Jesus Christ spoke in parables, and we talked about this several weeks ago, was for those who had ears to hear, they would find out the depth of what he was teaching. For people just hanging out going, oh, what's this about? Oh, this guy's teaching? Well, let me see what's going on. Not really having a desire to learn or to know. But the disciples did, because the next verse tells you, his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? Someone who has eyes to see and ears to hear has a desire to know, to learn, to want to get more. And for those people, Jesus Christ would open it up. So now he's going to explain what the parable meant. He said unto them, verse 10, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand, because they didn't have the eyes to see or the ears to hear. Jesus Christ said in another place, you have become dull in hearing, meaning you don't want to hear. You're not really interested. Now, verse 11, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The sower went and sowed the seed, the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then comes the devil and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. Oh, this is cool. I like this. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard it, they go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. That word that was sown, that seed, gets choked. But, yea for verse 15, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. In another gospel, when it talks about this parable, it says that they bring forth fruit, some 60, some 100-fold. So you have the four, groups there. And so the good ground, the people that have ears to hear, that want to know, want to learn, want to understand, that good ground, they keep it. Not just hearing God's word, but holding on to it, keeping it secure. Or as we read before, holding fast to that wonderful word of God that we have. And then acting on it. Being faithful is consistently believing God's word no matter what happens. No matter what. Just, I'm not budging from what God's word says. And speaking of being hearers only, go to James, the epistle of James. James chapter 1. And you know what? It's a choice to be good ground or not good ground. It's not like, well, he was born to be a wayside person. He was born to be thorns and thistles. No, it's a choice. It means having a desire, having ears to hear and eyes to see. It's a choice. And in James chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 21. James 1:21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. That's a great phrase, isn't it? Superfluity of naughtiness. Put the junk aside, and instead, look what it says, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. When it comes to salvation, being saved, gaining eternal life, that comes from one that would have ears to hear and eyes to see, where God's word says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. People could go, I don't think so. Okay. But this verse here is telling us that the engrafted word is able to save your souls. But it says to receive the word of God with meekness. Having meekness is having ears to hear and eyes to see. That is good ground. A person can get to the point where they think that they really don't need to learn anymore, because after all, I've read the Bible a number of times. Okay, I've studied it. I've taken classes. I pretty much got it figured out what I need to know, and I really don't need to know anymore. I really don't have a desire or whatever. When you no longer have a desire to learn and know God's word, that's not meekness. That's not good ground. That's not eyes to see or ears to hear. And really, when you no longer have that desire to learn more of God's word, you're moving from the good ground to one of those other three spots. Wayside, thorns and thistles. You're just moving to that. And slowly, the word of God in your heart and mind will erode. Or like it said in the parable, the word of God gets choked and it becomes unfruitful. So the way to avoid that is we stay meek, which is teachable, having a desire to learn, continue to have ears to hear. And, you know, we stay faithful a number of ways. I mean, we take time in our busy, busy life to open the book and read it, you know, to read God's word. Maybe more than once a year. But we feed on God's word. Jesus Christ said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And I need food every day, physical food. I guess I probably would need some spiritual food. And it's not a duty. Well, I'm a Christian. I better read the Bible this morning. What time is it? Have I read? It's not a duty. It's the words of God. It's the words of our Father. It is God speaking to you. So, we stay meek by, you know, reading God's word. And, you know, it's a good idea to, if they're available to you, it's a good idea to repeat solid Bible classes. Repeat it. Well, I already took it. You know, there are different professions that require people every so often to renew their license, and some of those have to take refresher courses and take some other courses. Well, you already know how to do it, right? If it's available, it's a good idea because it helps you stay in your lane, helps you from swerving off into maybe doctrine that's not sound or solid. It keeps you, you know, in your lane. We just read a bit ago where Paul was sending Timothy to Corinth to remind them, put them in memory of what he had already taught them. Right? So when Timothy got to Corinth, you know, it wasn't like, oh, Timothy's here. Oh, we got some itching ears. You got something new to tell us? No, I'm going to tell you what Paul told you. Why? We already heard it. It's like in the Epistle of Peter. Peter said, look, I know you know these things, but I'm going to put them in your mind again and remind you of these things, even though you know them. So I was watching a documentary and they were interviewing a well-respected archaeologist, PhD, he's got all of these degrees, and he's very well-respected in the archaeological field. And so the man interviewing him said, you grew up like I did, didn't you, in a Christian home? Yeah, you're familiar with the Bible stories. I mean, the topic was biblical archaeology. See, you grew up in a Christian home. You've heard all these stories from the Bible when you were growing up. Yeah, I have. Weren't you a pastor for 13 years? Yes, I was. And then he named the church that he was pastor. I don't know if it was a Baptist church or something. He was, you know, a pastor for 13 years. And then it kind of blew my mind, the question the interviewer asked him. He said, well, let me ask you a question. Do you believe there is a God? And this man said, I don't know. That's a theological question. I'm not a theologian. And I was shocked when I heard that. It was so sad. Here's an ordained minister who pastored for 13 years and is unsure whether there's a God. It was really sad, very sad. You know, he's talking about how the word can erode. I think we all know people who maybe at one time were, you know, really believed God's word and they were, you know, just faithful to God and his word. And where are they? Gone. Eroded. Because you see, you can be raised in a Christian family, right? Be around, have Christian parents. That's no guarantee. You can be raised by an ordained minister. That's no guarantee. You can be an ordained minister, and the word of God can still be eroded from you. And, you know, I don't say that to be critical of that man, but it's just sad when I heard that. I had to hit pause and go, what did he just say? How sad. But it says in verse 21 again, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, He's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass, meaning a mirror, for he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, continues, holds fast, keeps it, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man or this woman shall be blessed in his deed. God wants us blessed. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. A lot of times people don't want to, you know, go to a church or get involved with the Bible because, oh, I don't want all the rules and regulations. I don't want people telling me, don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. You can't do this. I got it figured out. You know, me and God, God knows my heart. God knows. Well, I'll tell you something. God's word is for profit for us so that we can be blessed in every area of our lives. It's not a duty. Verse 20 of the last chapter of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 6:20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Keep it. Hold on to it. Avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith or the right believing. Grace be with thee. Amen. Hold on to it, Timothy. Don't get swerved to one side or another. I'd like you to look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that you mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Keep it solid. Keep the same doctrine. Don't start going off on the deep end. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity, that's love, the love of God, out of a pure heart and a good conscience and a faith unfeigned. Look at this. From which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling. Why? Because they're not holding fast to the sound word. They're not keeping it in their heart and mind. And so this comes around. I think, was it in chapter 4? Maybe it's in... Well, we might as well look at it. It's right over there, not far. Chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Why? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, and it goes on and on. Hold fast to the sound words. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 2 says, by which also you are saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. That's a little difficult to grasp with the King James translation. So I'm going to read that to you from the working translation that Reverend Cummins did. I'm so grateful for the work that Reverend Cummins has done researching God's word for like 50 years. Thankful that he not only knows Greek, Hebrew, Aramaic, understands grammar, the structure. And there's an ellipsis in here, which I don't want to get technical, but ellipsis is something that's left out on purpose. It's a figure of speech. But here's how he translated verses 1 and 2. Brothers, I declare to you the gospel, we're in verse 1, and this is the working translation. Brothers, I declare to you the gospel, which gospel I proclaimed to you, and which you received, and in which you stand, and by which you are saved. With what word did I proclaim the gospel to you? You will remember if you are holding it fast in memory. Unless, of course, you believed for no reason. I don't want to believe for no reason. I don't want to be all excited about God's word today and then next week go, well, that was fun. I'll come up with a new hobby. I think I'll build model boats or something. Nothing wrong with building model boats, but the point is, I want to stay put on God's word because God's word is true, God is faithful, his word is faithful, and the promises in God's word are true. And God will answer our prayers. God will bring us the blessings that he promised. Two more places we're going to go. 1 Thessalonians, well, actually three. Back up, or go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. See, if all of this was automatic, God wouldn't need to put this in the Bible. But he's trying to help us to stay put, to stay on good ground. He's encouraging us to have ears to hear and eyes to see. How loving of God. Verse 21 of chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, verse 21, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Hold on to it. Don't let it go. Keep it. That's being faithful, holding on to what God's word says. Faithfully taking in his words. Being a doer and not just a hearer. Hebrews chapter 10. Now I can say two more places. Hebrews 10:23. This is a great section about Jesus Christ's sacrifice, and I'm going to just read a couple of verses to you. Verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of the hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. Let us also carefully consider one another with a view to stirring up love and good works, not forsaking the gathering together of ourselves, as is the custom of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day drawing near. The day when God is going to gather all born-again believers, those who are alive and those who have died, will all be gathered together, God's word says, to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the clouds. But until then, not forsaking the gathering together. That's why we're here. That's why we're doing this. It's not my religious duty. You know, I'm an ordained minister. Well, I better teach. It's my duty. It's my passion. It's what I love doing. I love being with God's people. And here God's saying, don't forsake the gathering together. And that's why we get together. God wants us to love and inspire one another, to help one another, to encourage one another. That's what he wants us to do. So finally, we're going to close in 2 Timothy. Paul wrote this epistle of 2 Timothy shortly before he died. We'll see that in the verses we're going to read here in chapter 4. It's hard to imagine all that the Apostle Paul went through, endured in his time ministering. I don't think anyone would want to trade with him. He was shipwrecked three times. Well, more than that. Because when he wrote in Corinthians and said he had been shipwrecked three times, that was before his trip to Rome. So let's add another one. Yeah, we got three, might as well have four. He was beaten. He was imprisoned. And he went through all of that. And as a result, we have most of the New Testament because he wrote all the church epistles and he wrote, obviously, Timothy, Titus, Philemon, more than likely Hebrews. We have God's word. He was a faithful, faithful man. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, he's telling Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Just preach the word. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Oh, I heard that stuff about Jesus Christ. But is there, you know, I want to hear something really cool, something neat, something whatever. Itching ears. If they're not going to endure sound doctrine, but have itching ears, does that sound like good ground? No. Does that sound like eyes to see and ears to hear? No. Does it sound like they're holding fast? No. And as a result, they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. I don't want to believe fables. I don't want to believe myths. I don't want to believe theories. I want to believe the truth. God's word is true. And then he says in verse 5, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. Paul knew that he was about to die. And he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He was a faithful man. And you know, it's not how long we live here on earth, but it's how we live while we're here on earth. Henceforth, verse 8, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. God has promised, when the gathering together comes, for all of us to be rewarded for the good that we've done here on earth. And he's keeping track of all of it. He doesn't need our help. We don't need to remind him, hey God, I did something good today. God is faithful, his word is faithful, and we have many examples in the scriptures of faithful believers. To be faithful is a day-by-day decision to continue to desire to have ears to hear and eyes to see, to hold fast, to keep in our hearts and minds sound, solid doctrine so we're not swayed. And it's always, and I've said this many times, the great question you can ask yourself is, why do I believe what I believe? Because the preacher said it? Because my friend said it? Or is it because he said it? God said it in his word. I believe what I believe because it's in God's word. And then we need to be doers of the word and not just hearers only, because if you're a doer, if you're a hearer only, the Bible said you're deceiving yourself. You're fooling yourself. I don't want to fool myself. So we be doers of the word and not hearers only. And finally, my brothers and sisters, our goal is to stand faithfully a lifetime. Amen?
Amen.
Father God, thank you for your wonderful word that you have given to us to profit us, to bless us. Thank you for revealing yourself in your word. And thank you, Father, for the confidence that we can have that your word is sound. It is solid. Father, may we continue to have eyes to see and ears to hear. And Father, may we continue to be grateful for all our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ accomplished for us. That we not only have eternal life, but we have all those wonderful rights, privileges, and abilities as born-again children of God. Thank you for this fellowship this morning, for blessing everyone here in this room and on the phone hookup. And may we have a blessed week this week, keeping your word, holding fast to your word in our hearts and minds as we trust you and believe you in every situation. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.